translation. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Messages of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna are non-different from Him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that He has endowed His innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that He can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound, but unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We have already discussed developing the taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to His devotees. When He sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord and has thus become eager to hear about Him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to Him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into His kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only very few men want to go back to Godhead. I believe women are included. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord Himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact with of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord gradually, he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Шринватам свакатах Кришнах пунья шравана киртана хридянтах стоухья бадрани видуноти сухритсатам. Шри Кришна, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Super Soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtues when properly heard and chanted. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyate Shatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yam Pravrajanta Manupeta Mupeta Krityam Dvaipayana Virahakata Rajuhava Putreti Tanmayatayo Taravobinedus Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimana tosmi. Ajanu lambit bujau kanakavadatu sankirtanai kapitaro kamalaya daksha. Vishvambaro dvijavaro yugadharma palo vandei jagat priyakaro karuna avataro. Yantah pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam sanjeeva etakila shakti darakhsvadamna. Anyam shahasta charana sravanatvagadim. Prananamo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. Hare Krishna. So with your permission, I will try to continue the topic which we started yesterday. And even though I'm well aware that I probably will not say anything which you don't already know, I'll still try to say something to stress the importance of hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yesterday we stopped our discussion by saying that sometimes in the society of the devotees, sincere devotees who want to change their heart, some fascination to some other methods of changing the heart become prevalent. And specifically I mentioned two of this kind of fashions, so to speak. When the devotees frustrated in their attempts to change the heart in a very radical way, as it is implied by the process of devotional service, try to employ some other methods. And one of them, I said, some kind of psychological trainings. And, you know, these methods, they do have their position. Prabhupada said, whatever helps, whatever works. When I mentioned this psychological method as something which doesn't work, I didn't mean that it doesn't work at all. It certainly works helping someone to understand what's going on in his heart and in his mind. It certainly works to remove some blocks which are there between the soul and the process of devotional service. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes devotees, they stress too much attention to this particular method. And too much attention means that this all of a sudden becomes something, the main process of devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj didn't mention the psychological trainings in his list of devotional processes. Although you may, you know, somehow rather connect It was one of them. I don't know was exactly what, but. But again, you know, we have to be very balanced in our approach to this. Certainly, these methods help on a certain stage, but we still have to remember that the main process for changing the heart is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And this point cannot be overestimated. It has to be stressed again and again and again, because otherwise we will forget about it. I mentioned yesterday that psychological methods don't work. I mean, they work, but and there is an interesting also proof for this statement. It was told to me by one devotee who attended one of the training seminars. And at the end of the training seminar, and everyone was very excited. Everyone just felt that, you know, he found some new way and new things to approach. You know, and then, you know, the audience at the end of the seminar dispersed. And this particular devotee, he was alone, and he saw that the lecturer or the trainer was there, collecting his papers and everything. And then he decided to approach him, and he asked him a very pertinent question. He said, how many of these people who listen to you, and there were, I don't know, 400 people or 200 people, I don't know, will use what you said? And the lecturer looked at him and said, none of them. Because if they could use it, they would probably already used it. Anyway, again, having said this, we're not fanatical. We can use everything in Krishna's service, but we have to really understand that hearing, the proper hearing, as Prabhupada says in the purport, if it's done offenselessly, if the hearing and chanting is done offenselessly, this is the method of transformation of the heart. And I mentioned the other method which is also in vogue among the devotional community. And I wanted to read something which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says about this kind of approach when somebody is trying forcefully to change himself by atonement, by tapasya, by all kinds of stuff. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very interesting analysis which I wanted to share with you today. He says, atonement in jnana is through repentance. By atonement through jnana, one's sins and seeds of sin or desires are destroyed, but nations is not destroyed. And he says later on, the practice of repentance is observed in some foreign devotional processes based on a paternal rasa. And since this paternal rasa is mixed with jnana and opulence, it is reasonable. But in unmotivated devotional service of the sweet Lord, however, there is no opposing rasas like fear, repentance, or liberation. Realization of one's constitutional position and elimination of all previous sins in the form of both fructified and unfructified sins are both irrelevant fruits of bhakti and therefore easily attained by the devotees. Obviously that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur means Christianity, which he calls foreign process based on paternal rasa. And he says that the problem with this is that it's a mixed process, and therefore to employ this kind of process on the path of bhakti is not beneficial in ultimate sense, because it deprives us the sweet relationship with the Lord, which is unmixed of, you know, opulence and, how he calls it, opulence and jnana. Anyway, having said this, we will proceed with the next things which I wanted to mention today very briefly, how this process of transformation of the heart works when we just hear Srimad Bhagavatam. What Srila Prabhupada stresses in this particular purport is that ultimately when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, it's Krishna who starts acting within our heart. And Vidunoti Suhrit Satam. Vidunoti is the simple present in Sanskrit. It means that as soon as one Shinvatam Svakatah Krishnah Punya Shravana Kirtanah, as soon as one is engaged in this process, then Krishna start doing this, because as Prabhupada says in the purport, he wants it more than ourselves. And as soon as he sees a little spark of the desire within the living entity, which manifests through the hearing process, it's very important to understand that our hearing and the quality of our hearing is the manifestation of the quality of our desire to come to Krishna. But as soon as he sees or senses this desire, he starts helping, you know, and therefore that's bhakti. That's pure bhakti, because it relies entirely on the mercy of the Lord, not on our own endeavors. Nevertheless, our own endeavors are important, because this process of hearing should be, as Prabhupada says, offenseless. And that's in itself a very interesting statement, because usually, you know, you can perhaps very easily imagine that, you know, you can be offensively or offenselessly speaking about somebody. But hearing, you know, it seems to be quite innocent process. You just hear. How you can offensively hear about somebody? Nevertheless, it's quite possible, according to Srila Prabhupada. And that's perhaps the main reason why this very powerful process, which relies entirely on the great power of the Lord present within our heart, is not really as effective as it could be. It really depends on the quality of our hearing and the motivation which is behind the hearing. The mental adjustment or mental tuning up for the process of hearing. And that's basically what I wanted to speak a little bit today, because there's not much time left. So before, I wanted to say, and Prabhupada also mentions this, and this is a very important point of our philosophy, is the process of cleansing of the heart is gradual process. In a normal conditions, of course, in some abnormal conditions, it can be very glorious and very abrupt, and immediately, you know, somebody gets the revelation and, you know, that's it. He's finished and everything is finished for him. He's there with God. As soon as he hears, this is, of course, this is possible. And that's mercy. There is a room for mercy in our life. But usually, and definitely mercy is there already. But usually mercy takes a very gradual path in our life. And we have to be very clear about this gradual process of the mercy, and not count so much on this immediate, instantaneous kind of, you know, when it will happen to me, as soon as I hear. So this gradual process of cleansing the heart through hearing with the proper attitude has a certain stages, which I wanted to elaborate in the beginning, because it's important how it works and what is the mechanism. If we look in our own development, we can very clearly see three or four distinctive stages through which we can progress in the process of devotional service. And the first stage is, as we know all, is the stage of enthusiasm, when all of a sudden we get this inspiration, and we hear in the beginning, and this hearing process gives us tremendous joy and enthusiasm in the beginning, because all of a sudden we hear something which is new. And this emotional stage, which is there, and which we know is called Utsahamai stage, greatly dependent on the external sources of inspiration. And the problem of this particular emotional stage is that people who come to Krishna consciousness, and this is one of the possible scenarios of somebody who comes to Krishna consciousness, and getting some kind of, you know, this inspirational enthusiasm of the beginners, get used to it, and somehow or other, without coming to the next stage of development, when the source of inspiration becomes internal, try to overly depend on the sources of inspiration from the outside, from the external sources of inspiration. There is a species of devotees, if, you know, I'm not being offensive here, just this is my humble observation, who just totally, completely, you know, I know this devotee, they jump from one festival to another festival, and in between the festivals, they just as morose as usually. So, and they usually need all this kind of, what they need, you know, and really, you know, good feast and, you know, fired up lecture. Haribo, you know, we will go there. And everyone is, yeah, right. And then, after this fired up lecture, everything is finished. So, and that's a natural stage. That's a very natural stage which should not be neglected. But the point is that one should not stay on this stage forever. You know, when I was thinking about it, I remember this, you know, during the Christmas in the airports, they have these Santa Clauses, you know, which are pumped by the air, and they just like this, because the air is pumping. And as soon as the air stops, they, you know, they're very enthusiastic Santa Clauses for some time because the air is pumping. But then, you know, as soon as it's not there, enthusiasm is gone. So this particular stage is important, but we have to understand how to get to another stage, to the second stage of development, when our enthusiasm does not depend at all on the external sources. Interestingly enough, you know, we know that there are three stages of Brahmana. And first stage is Dvija, second stage is Vipra, and third stage is, of course, Brahmana itself. It's Manu Samhita, and some other literature is there, this classification. And it's extremely interesting, this etymology of these words. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gornitai ki jai. It's interesting because this three nomenclatures, three names, or three stages of Brahminical development, so to speak, it's exactly what we have to go through. And the first is called Dvija, when you're just born. You're twice born. You're born in a spirit. You are more or less done with your material life, and you're born again. We are born again Brahmanas. dvijas, through the inspiration of the spiritual master. Basically, the hearing of the spiritual master becomes this driving force for the second birth. But then the next stage is called vipra, and usually the normal usage of this word vipra is that somebody who is expert, somebody who knows something, who knows the Vedas. But the etymological meaning of this word vipra means one who is inspired. Vipra is coming from the root, verbal root, to inspire, being inspired. So, and this is, and of course the third stage is, you know, Brahman. Brahman is the one who knows Brahman. So this three things, they very clearly delineate or describe the process which we have to go through. First is we are born again, and this, you know, this process is a very interesting thing. You know, you practically get the new life. But then the next stage, you have to get the source of inspiration from within. And this process of getting the source of inspiration, and then of course Brahmana, when you know Brahman, you're already there. But this source of inspiration from within is coming through the hearing. When the hearing becomes established in our heart and in our mind, and that's what I'm going to talk, how to do this and what it means. Basically this, and therefore, you know, again and again and again and again in the Vedic literature, there is so much stress on this hearing and studying Svadhyaya, hearing the Vedic literature, and, you know, studying. Because what is the point here is that, which is mentioned in many places, but specifically in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Manobhe Shashvati Tanu. Krishna himself says that Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mam Ubhe Shashvati Tanu. I have eternally Shashvati, always two bodies. Tanu means body. Ubhe, Mama Ubhe, these two bodies or two forms I have, Krishna says. And these two forms are Shabda Brahman, Param Brahma. In other words, and Krishna eternally, and that's what Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, Krishna eternally exists in the two forms, in the form of Shabda Brahman, in the form of the sound, and in the form of Param Brahma, of his original, so to speak, form. But they are both original, and the very important point is that this Shabda Brahman is the bridge between our, you know, for us to get to Param Brahman. Therefore, in Upanishads, it's a very important statement. It is said that Shabda Brahman in Nishnatah, Para Brahman Abhigachati. Shabda Brahman Nishnatah. Nishnatah means if you become expert in Shabda Brahman, if Shabda Brahman becomes, if you become very familiar, Nishnatah literally means expertise. If you become very expert in Shabda Brahman, Para Brahman Abhigachati, you will attain Para Brahman. And the attainment of Para Brahman is very much depends on this expertise or our relationship with Shabda Brahman. And that's the only way to get there. And as I said, we all know this, but still it's good to remember about it again. And now we come to the real point of this little discussion, for which I have 7 minutes only. And the real point is that what are the conditions which have to be fulfilled for the hearing process to be effective? And these conditions are mentioned. Like here, Srila Prabhupada includes it into translation, even though in Sanskrit it's not there. In Sanskrit, it simply says Srinvatam Svakathah Krishnah Punya Shravana Kirtanah. But Srila Prabhupada specifically qualifies this. If offenselessly heard and glorified these messages, they will cleanse the heart. But in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very important statement. Sadhyo hridya varudya te tra kriti bhikshu shrushubhistat kshanat. And sadhyo means immediately, hridya varudya te, Krishna becomes, when you hear this Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna becomes the prisoner of your heart. Basically, he becomes encaged in your heart. And immediately, sadhyo hridya varudya te atra. Atra means if you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, tatkshanat means the same moment Krishna becomes the prisoner or the resident of your heart. But there is a very important condition included which we usually forget, kritibih. If people who are kritibih or pious people, you can, preliminarily translate it as a pious kritibih here. Siddhartha Swami, commenting on this verse, he says, akritibis tu bahu vilambane. Even though the verse itself stresses the point of immediate revelation of the heart, immediately we can reveal Krishna's presence within our heart when we hear. But the commentator, Siddhartha Swami, he says, akritibis tu bahu vilambani. If somebody is akritibih, if he is not properly hearing, bahu vilambani means it will take a long time. You will hear again and again and again, and nothing will happen to you. Nothing will really substantially change within your heart if the process of hearing is not properly performed. The conditions for this properly performed hearing is very interestingly and very clearly I explained in Padma Purana, in Bhagavata Mahatmya. Because Bhagavata Mahatmya is glorifying this very process of hearing Bhagavatam. And there is a very interesting verse which we have to understand for our benefit if we want to understand what it means to hear properly and what it means to us to be kritibih, to be kriti, to be pious in the process of hearing. So this verse is simple verse, but very important. It says in this verse, Vishvaso Guru Vakishu, Svasmin Dinatvi Bhavana, Mano Dosha Jayas Chaiva, Kathayam Nishchalamatihi. Basically, four things are being said of the attitude and the process or the methodology of hearing. Vishvaso Guru Vakishu, the first condition is simple. Vishvaso Guru Vakishu means you have to have Vishvas or Shraddha in the words of your Guru. Vishvaso Guru Vakishu, this Vishvas means complete trust. Complete, the mental attitude of complete surrender to the words of Guru in the sense that, he says this, it means, in other words, I shouldn't doubt, I have to really take it to heart. And Vishwas means also that I'm not sure about this, but anyway. Vishvaso Guru Vakishu, Vishvas means that you have to really take to heart whatever is being said and try to apply it in your life. And then Svasmin Dinatvi Bhavana, and that's a very important point. Svasmin Dinatvi Bhavana. Bhavana means the mood. And svasmin dinatve, you have to have the mood of dinatva. I am dina. Dina means what? Fallen. Because very often, that's a subtle point. How I hear this? How I hear Bhagavatam, how I hear, I know this. Of course, I heard this, of course. And if I would speak probably even more profoundly than he speaks or something like this. So this very important point, svasmin dinatve bhavana, when we hear this dinatva bhavana, the mood of humility has to be very much present within our heart. That's the key condition for the success of hearing. We're coming first of all with Shraddha, with Vishwas within our heart, second of all with humility within our heart, and then two more conditions are there. Two more very important conditions are mentioned in this verse. Mana dosha jayas chaiva. Mana dosha jaya. Mana dosha means the defects or the faults of our mind. What we have to do, and what are the faults of our mind? We all know what are the defects of our mind. We're restless. The mind is extremely restless. The mind doesn't want to stick to something. For a long time, mind, it just doesn't want to do anything. The only thing which mind likes to do is just to jump from one subject to another, from one activity to another. Why people love internet so much? Because you can just jump, unlimitedly. And without being concentrated or absorbed in anything, and you're just very good, nice. So, the very important point of this mana dosha jayas chaiva, you have to really conquer your mind. You have to have this attitude of I really want at least this time. At least for 40 minutes of Srimad Bhagavatam class, which is already over. And then you have to really try to negate or to eliminate, at least for the moment of hearing, all this mana dosha, the negative tendencies which are there in the mind, which, every one of us has. And kathayam nishchalamatihi. Your intelligence. Matihi means intelligence. Matihi means basically buddhi. Intelligence or the capacity to analyze. Kathayam nishchala matihi. That has to be totally nishchala, concentrated on the topic, on kathayam, on the katha, which is going on. And this is the conditions, this which make us kriti bhih, or deserving hearers. The hearers who have the qualification, these are the conditions. And there are, of course, many stories how it works. And one very interesting and very, it's a famous story, but it's a very, very important story to understand, is the story, once Madhvacharya was giving a lecture. And Madhvacharya, sometimes he would speak in a very complicated way. In pure Sanskrit, in a very complicated philosophical way. And, of course, there were many Brahmanas disciples who were hearing him, and after the lecture, they approached him. And because they realized by hearing him that, the Acharya words will need explanation. nobody will understand this word, so somebody will have to rewrite the purports for his words. And they approached him and said, "Who out of us will write the tikka, the commentaries on your work?" And of course they were a little proud, maybe not so little. You know, they approached him with this attitude, you know, yeah, we understood everything, tell us, make the prophecy, who out of us will write the commentary on your tikka, on your bhashya, on your words. He was explaining his bhashya, his commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And Madhvacharya looked at them very carefully for a few seconds and said, "None of you." And then he looked at the bull, which was standing nearby. He said, "He will write the commentary." And this bull was famous, because the bull, and remember, this is a very important, profound statement which I'm going to make. The bull was famous, and that the bulls, you know, usual engagement of the bull is that they usually either do some labor or they just chew something. You know, they have to chew. So this particular bull, who was carrying the great library of Madhvacharya always, whenever Madhvacharya would start speaking, he would stop chewing the grass. He would try to listen with such an attention that, you know, he couldn't chew the grass anymore. And Madhvacharya looked at him and said, "He will definitely write a commentary on what I say." Because he listens properly. So the purport, my humble purport of this story, is that we're also chewing all the time something. You know, there is mental chewing gum which is going on within our mind while we're listening. And usually we don't stop this chewing process when we listen. But the important thing, which is also explained in this verse of Padma Purana, is that this chewing process has to stop. And we have to really, you know, apply the whole attention into what is being said, with the understanding how important it is. And of course, and, you know, sure enough, this bull has become, you know, Jayatirtha. In his next life, this bull was born as Jayatirtha. And Jayatirtha, as we know, he wrote tremendous work, what is called Nyaya Shuddhi. This work is still, it's something really unbelievable. It's this big volumes and this many of them. And this is Bhashya on Madhvacharya's work. You know, this Nyaya Shuddhi is something which is out of this world. But this is the bull, you know, so we all have a chance. But there are some conditions which have to be fulfilled. So this, and bull naturally was not proud also. That's a good quality of a bull. Bull was not very, you know, not very proud of himself. He was just very humbly listening. And there are a few other things which I want to mention, but I really have to finish soon. It's also interesting to realize what is our motivation. I will tell you two more important things relevant to this topic. Could be probably more, but two more very important. One is the motivation for hearing. This dinatva bhavana is very important point of this verse of Padma Purana, because it is very much connected with the motivation behind our process of hearing. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned that there is devotional service in Sattva-gun, devotional service in Raja-gun, and devotional service in Tamagun. And the distinguishing factor is the motivation. Why do we do this? What is the reason for us to do this? And especially for us, Western people or people of this modern day and age, and this Rajagun motivation is extremely important. But Rajagun motivation for devotional service is a very detrimental thing. And in Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned that there are three Rajasic motivations. That Rajasic motivation, and we can very much recognize it for our motivation to hear. One is Vishaya, another one is Aishwarya, and another one, Aishwarya is the third one, the second one is Yasha. Yasha. So, Vishaya means the sense enjoyment. So sometimes we may hear, and this is important motivation which is there within our heart. You know, we hear and we just expect that the speaker will entertain us. You know, when he will tell the story, for how long you're going to speak this boring philosophy? just tell us something which is entertaining. You know, that's Vishaya. I hear with the expectation that, you know, this guy who is sitting then on Vyasasan, you know, will give me some kind of enjoyment to my senses. And I only, you know, agree to do this. And if it's not, you know, I'm bored, you know. This is one. Another very important motivation, which is again the block in our proper hearing, is Yasha. Yasha means the desire for fame. And sometimes we hear, and I know it, this is especially very relevant for those who think themselves preachers. You know, they hear only to, you know, what, yeah, oh, very good, I will speak this myself with the next chance, the next opportunity. You know, we're not hearing with this sincere heart that something is very important is being said to me now, which I have to apply. We only hear to repeat it afterwards. Because this is an interesting point or some nice joke. So that's Yasha. I very much hanker to have this fame. I'm such a great preacher, you know. And therefore I hear. That's my main motivation to hear. Not because it will change my heart. Not because it will change my life. But only because I will repeat it. And of course Aishwarya. Aishwarya is the next kind of motivation. And Aishwarya means, we know Aishwarya means opulence, but Aishwarya means, it's from the word Ishvara. And Aishwarya means power also. Sometimes we hear with this desire or with this motivation that when I hear this, and then I will repeat it, I will obtain the power or the influence over people. And that's Aishwarya motivation. I will acquire this ability to influence other people. And that will bring Aishwarya to me. That will also bring opulence to me and this kind of stuff. So this is the third thing which is there, the Rajasic motivation. And that's definitely totally against this Dhinatva Bhavana. Therefore, this particular point is so important. You know, we come with the humble heart to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, knowing very well that this is the way to change my heart. This is the way to change my heart. If I want to change my heart, I have to hear Bhagavatam with the proper attitude in my mind. And the very last thing which I want to mention, because I need to finish this talk, is in perhaps the most important of everything which I have said so far. And that's in relation to two other points which are there in this verse of Padma Puran. That is mana dosha jayas chaiva kathayam nischalamatihi. So and the last point which is there is that I have to hear, but hearing is not enough. And the process of hearing should be such that it would ignite in me the process of deliberating or thinking about what I have heard. The process of hearing is only successful as much as it turns on the thinking process within myself. And that means katayam nischalamatihi. I apply my intelligence, and I try to apply my intelligence in such a way of what I heard is as to understand what it really means for me, and what the conclusion I have to make, and how I can apply it in my life, and so on and so forth. So in this way, my intelligence is being turned on, and if it's being turned on, then only the process of hearing will become successful in a sense or in relationship to this particular topic of changing the heart. And very amazing illustration to this point is the story which I'm sure all of you know, this story of Dundukari and his brother Gokarna, which is there in Bhagavata Mahatmya. And of course, we all know the story that Dundukari was a rogue. He was an outright sinner. He was, you know, he was sinner. I mean, none of us was as sinful as him. That's also nice to hear. That gives some solace to the heart. So, and he became a ghost, which is also nice to hear. So he became a ghost, and then his brother Gokarna, he was killed by his own mistress, and he was really, you know. And he became a ghost, and his brother Gokarna came, and who was very pious, and he was very profound speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he said, I will deliver you by this process of hearing. I will speak Srimad Bhagavatam, and you will listen Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you listen properly, you will be delivered. And in fact, it is said, some of the acharyas commenting on this story said that in the history of speaking and listening Srimad Bhagavatam, there were only two listeners or hearers of Srimad Bhagavatam who really did it properly. One was Maharaja Parikshit, and the second one was Dundukari, the ghost. So, because in his particular case, the effect was immediate. What happened after 7 days, you know, we know the story that, you know, he was put into the bamboo stick, and there were seven notes in the bamboo stick. And after each day of speaking, when Gokarna was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, after each day of speaking, after some time, there was a, you know, loud explosion. And, you know, everyone... And this moment, this one particular node of this bamboo pole would explode. So after 7 days of this, when the seventh node of bamboo pole exploded, everyone who was present, and there were many people who were present at that time, all the local villagers and everyone came, and everyone was hearing with rapt attention. It's not that they were sleeping during Bhagavatam class, you know. When Gokarna was speaking, everyone, and that's the words of Gokarna himself. Gokarna said, so what happened? I will tell you a little later. What happened, the Viman, the ship, cosmic ship, landed to this place, and two messengers from Vaikuntha came, and you know, from this bamboo pole, the beautiful Vishnu Dutta-like form or Krishna-like form of Dundukari came out, and they took him by hands and put garland and, you know, welcomed him and glorified him, and, you know, he entered this Viman, and they were about to fly back to Vaikuntha. And at this moment of time, Gokarna interrupted and said, "Wait a minute, don't fly so quickly. Tell me why you're only taking him, not me. I was the speaker, he was the hearer. Why you're not taking me? Why nobody else is transformed? This Dundukari was completely transformed. Why nobody else? Everyone was hearing, everyone was on equal terms, and everyone was there." And he said, what particularly he said, Srotaro mana nirmalah, mama nirmalah. He said they were hearing Nirmala in a very pure way. All these people were sitting there, not only this Dundukari, wait, you know, what are you doing? And then the answer of this Vishnu Dutas is very important to our topic today. What they said to Gokarna, they said, yes, everyone was hearing, and everyone was attentive in hearing, but nobody was thinking afterwards. Only Dundukari was the one who was really thinking what he has heard. He said, so much so that he didn't sleep at night. Everyone would hear an earlier nice, was nice lecture. And, you know, as we usually hear some nice lecture. What was it about? I don't remember really. But it was nice, far out. So, what this Vishnu Dutas told to Gokarna, he said, you know, that nobody thought of what they heard. They were peacefully sleeping till the next katha, and then they were listening very nicely this next katha, and then sleep again. But Dundukari, the ghost Dundukari, didn't sleep the whole night. When the process of hearing would stop, he would start thinking what it means. And this meditation, or manana, they specifically mention this particular process which should follow the hearing, manana, when we think about what we heard and try to understand how it applies to us, continued for him. And that's why every day, big knots or big chunks of his karma were completely finished by this process of hearing. And that's exactly what also is being said in Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is said, where Sutta Goswami in the 15th verse of this chapter says that when somebody is hearing and then thinking, the thinking, not hearing, becomes the sword by which you can cut the knots of your karma. That's the 15th verse of this chapter, where Sutta Goswami very clearly says, this topic is very relevant, but what becomes the weapon, what becomes the instrument or the mechanism for cutting the karmic reactions or karmic connections or our conditioned nature is the thinking process of what we have heard. Mat anudhyasina, anudhyasina. I meditate. How I meditate? According to what I have heard. Mat anudhyasina. You know, that's the process which should be employed. And when this process is employed, then, you know, this inspiration will become internal. And then we will reach the third stage, which is knowing Brahman, coming to the beginning of my little discourse or talk. So I definitely have to finish now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki! I'm afraid that there is no time for questions, so I just leave it for your deliberation and everything. Again. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornita ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana ki jai.